Tonight's shiur, Parshas Truma. Sedra begins, Vedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Vichulis Truma. Meis Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo, Tikru Es Truma Si. The Ben Ish Chai makes an observation that the whole Bria, we have the Niflaos HaBoire, the things that bring us to the greatest Hakar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are dafka the things which are the biggest things in the world and the smallest things in the world. And as it happens, both these things require a means to look at them. They can't be seen with the naked eye. What's the biggest things in the world? Planets, stars, right? We look at the sun, for example. We say, it doesn't look so big. It's actually very big. It's 60 times the size of the Earth. Is this because it's so far away, so you can't see it it doesn't look so big. And the stars are even further away, and they're even bigger, and there's some stars that are so far away that the light hasn't even reached us yet in this Earth. But these are humongous, humongous things. But we can't see them with the naked eye. We need a telescope to see them. On the other hand, we have things which are very, very small, which also are amazing. And what are they? Little tiny things that you can't see with the naked eye. You need a microscope that blows things up like 20 million times. And yet, you look through the microscope, this high-powered microscope, and you see this thing with the legs and like a little creature, but it's invisible to the eye. But through a microscope, we can see these things. Always just, some people maybe they see, go to the zoo, you see these huge hippopotami and elephants, whatever, so they make the people say, wow. I don't know, to me, what always made a big impression is stuff the little things. You take the tiny, tiny little ant, and you think, wow, this ant has legs, it has a body, it has a digestive system, it has everything like a human, like a living thing has to have. And it's in such tiny, tiny, all packed away in this tiny, tiny little thing. And that's an ant, okay, we can see, but there's things that are, like you said, are like microscopic. You need a microscope to see. And they also have little legs, and if you see it through a microscope. It's unbelievable, the wisdom of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So says the Ben Ish Chai, what's the biggest letter in the Aleph Beis? Lamed. It goes up very high. What's the smallest letter in the Aleph Beis? A Yud. What is the Lamed Yud spell? Li. Mele says, Ve'yikhu li truma. If you want to, truma is lashon li trumem. If you want to be astonished, be amazed, what should you look at? The li. The biggest things in the universe and the smallest things in the universe. They're the most amazing. Vichuli truma. And how do you do this? Meis kolish ashe yudvenu lo tikhu es trumasi. You want to be astonished, you want to see the li, it's meis kolish ashe ish means yudvenu libo is those that have chachmas leib. You have to go to the chachamim and they'll, make you a microscope, make you a telescope. You have to use these different means to see these great and small things. Because they can't be seen with the naked eye. That's vichuli truma. The Midrash says as follows, the beginning of the Seder, also of equally truma. The Midrash says, Hadu dichsiv Torah tzivalanu Moshe. Meaning, the Midrash continues that Torah was given to Moshe. Torah and Gematria is how much? 611. Says the Midrash, but there's 613 mitzvahs. Why Torah tzivalanu Moshe? That Torah is only 611. He says, yeah, but Anochi, v'lo yelecha, the first two Dibras, that was given from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we have Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Moshe gave this Torah, 611. And Hashem gave the other two, Anochi Velo Yelecha, that came from Hashem. Fine. It's the Midrash. Question is asked, the Pani Miras asks, what does that have to do with the beginning of the Sedra? The Yikuli Truma, and then we talk about Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the connection over here? So says the Zichron Yitzchak, that Chazal tell us that the Mishkan was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. It says the gold of the Mishkan comes along and is a kapara for the gold of the Egel, the golden Egel. So the question is asked, why did they need a kapara for the Chet HaEgel? The Gemara says in Yoma that the first avera a person does, or a people do in this case, is Nimchal, Hashem forgives. that's the case, the Chet HaEgel was the first sin they did, you know, as a Jewish people when they got the Torah. So Hashem should have been moichel them. Why were they punished for it? So the question is answered with another question. You know, it's the same thing by Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, he had the commandment not to eat from the fruit, and he ate it. So that was the first of error. Why should he be punished? Why was he punished? Misa, etc. L'chora, first a sin, you're not punished for it, says the Gemara in Yoma. The answer is that that doesn't apply to a direct command from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells you directly to do something, then right away you can be punished for it. If it came through a Shaliach, through Moshe, whatever, then you're forgiven at first. Memele, that's why Adam HaRishon was told directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu not to eat. So therefore he was punished. He could be punished. He wasn't forgiven. So too, Klal Yisrael, they made what? The Chet HaEgel. That was their sin. What's the Chet HaEgel? That's a sin of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, we said, came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yelach Elohim acherim. That came directly from Hashem, not through Moshe Rabbeinu. But Mela, they can be punished for the sin of the Egel, which was Avodah Zarah, because that came directly from Hashem, even though it was their first sin. Mela, now we can understand the Midrash very nicely. The Midrash starts off, Vayikuli Truma. What's the Truma for? What's the donations for? The building of the Mishkan. The Midrash is bothered. Building of the Mishkan, why did he need a Mishkan for? Kapar for Chet HaEgel. But why do you need a Kapar for Chet HaEgel? It was their first sin. Therefore, Torah, Tzivalanu Moshe, continues the Midrash, 611 were from Moshe Rabbeinu, but two were from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which two, Anochi v'lo Yelecha, don't do Avodah Zarah. The Mele, since they had a direct command from Hashem not to do Avodah Zarah, and they didn't listen, then Hashem punished them, even for their first sin. And therefore, that's why, that's the connection between Vikuli Truma and the Midrash of Torah, Tzivalanu Moshe. Another midrash, and this time in Dvarim, it says the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach once bought for their Rebbe a chamor, a donkey. They bought it from some goy, some Arab, and when they were taking it back, they noticed that around its neck there was a very, very expensive jewel. So they were thrilled. They said, our luck. Why? Because Taus Akum is mutter, right? When a goy makes a mistake, you can't cheat a goy. But if a goy makes a mistake, so you can keep it. So here, the goy obviously overlooked, and he sold the donkey with the jewel on the neck. He forgot it, didn't notice it, whatever. And since it's a mistake, you can keep it. So they were thrilled. So they came to the Rebbe, Rishim Machek, says, Rebbe, good news. We bought you the donkey, and not only that, you got yourself a priceless gem with it. So he said, what happened? And they showed him, told him, and they were so happy. So he said, nothing doing. So I bought a donkey, I didn't buy a jewel. I'm giving back the jewel. Okay. So he took the gem, whatever, came back to the goy, the Arab, and said, this was around the donkey that you sold me. It's the right Talmidim. Here it is. So the Arab couldn't believe it, couldn't believe the honesty, sincerity of Shimon ben Shetach, and he said, Baruch Eloka, the Shimon ben Shetach. Blessed be the God of Shemitah. Now, what does God have to do with it? Because he saw that what this person did, Shemitah, was something which was out of the norm of what a human being is capable of doing, would normally do. Right? We know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. You find something, you keep it. Nobody would say anything. And yet, it was something very, very costly here. And he gave it back to me. He said, this guy must have a God. If he wasn't God-fearing, it wasn't a God, he would have never done such a thing. We see that when a person has something which is extra, then that's a sign that he has a God. Mele, that's Vayikuli Truma. Says Rashi, Vayikuli Lishmi. Hashem says, I want you to give a Truma. Donation is hard to part with your money. It's something that people have a difficult time doing. So Hashem says, yeah, but if you do that, people are going to say, wow, this is amazing. Look what this guy did. And therefore, they're going to say, this person must have a God. Vayikuli Lishmi. You give the Truma, something which it's hard for people to do, then Lishmi, then it raises up my name. The people see that there's a God. It says in the Pasuk, Whatever I show you, Hashem says, Eis Tavnis HaMishkan, the form of the Mishkan, and Tavnis Kol Kelev, and all the Kelim, V'chein Ta'asu. And this you should do. So the Ben Ishchai asks, why did it command at the end? V'chein Ta'asu. And do you have to do this? Okay, you said, he gave us the things to do, we'll do it. Why does it have to say V'chein Ta'asu? So he gives the mashal that there was a guy in architect schools learning to be an architect. So he went through all the learning, and then came final test. They had to make this blueprint, whatever, of a city. You know, a city planning, architectural plan for the city, and he had to, you know, draw everything out, the lines and that, whatever, like a blueprint of the city. Anyways, he finished the project, handed it in. Afterwards, he got his mark, he failed. He says, failed? What? He goes to the teacher. He goes, why did you fail me? I thought I did everything good. Look, it's everything's beautiful here. Teacher said, everything's beautiful. You see right there? He said, look over there. He says, I don't see anything. Teacher said, exactly, that's the problem. You forgot to put a dot right over there. A dot. You forgot a dot on over there. He says, a dot? That's it? You're failing me because I didn't put a dot over here on the blueprint? He says, no, we didn't put it. You know what that dot is? That dot represents a 10-story building. He forgot City Hall over here. You know, a dot on the blueprint is a 10-story building. Mele, says the Ben Ishchai, same thing over here. Hashem says, make a Mishkan. He says, okay, make a Mishkan. Be'erich, approximate. No, Hashem says. You got to do it perfectly. Exactly. Why? Because the Mishkan down here, it's not just a Mishkan down here. The Mishkan down here is just a representative of the Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. So therefore, whatever is done here perfectly, then up in Shemayim is perfect. But every little thing you go off, a little bit here, it's even much greater off in Shemayim. I was thinking, that, you know, the famous mashal they give you, somebody tells you to draw parallel lines, right? Two straight lines that are parallel. Okay, so if you draw them next to each other, but a little bit off, and not exactly, you know, parallel ones, a little bit off, but then again, by looking at it and naked eye, you say, yeah, they're parallel. But if it's just a drop off, and then you keep drawing these lines going, eventually they're going to be kilometers apart. Little by little it goes, starts up. Same thing over here. The Mishkan, if it's a little bit off, here it's a little bit up. But by the time you get to the upper world, it's worlds apart. Mele, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying over here. You have to make the Mishkan, the Tavnis of the Mishkan. Kela v'chein ta'asu, meaning make sure you do it perfect. Without any shinui, any little change can have effects in the upper world. Okay. The pasuk relates the kruvi, about the kruving that were on the Aaron. Okay, so the lashon of the pasuk is Vayu akruvim porsei knafayim lamala, sochachim bechanfeyem. With their wings, a la kaporis, they're on the top, the cover of the Aaron. Upnehem ish elachiv. Meaning that they were facing each other. Upnehem ish elachiv. So, the Gemara in Baba Basra, the Tzadi Tes, raises a contradiction. That here it says, Upnehem ish elachiv, that they're facing each other. Yet there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that says, Pnehem labais. Means they were facing the bais, the walls. Like they weren't facing each other. They were in the other direction, facing back, not facing each other. So what was it? Were the kruvim ish alachi facing each other, or were they facing the other direction? So the Gemara answers, it depends on the matzav of Klal Yisrael. When they're doing Ritzono Shel Makom, they're listening to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it's pneihem ish alachi, they're facing each other. But when they were doing the Ratzon Shel Makom, then Pneihem Labais, they were facing the other direction. That's the Gemara over there in Babas. So the Ritva asks in Yoma, from a Gemara in Yoma, he says, it's difficult. Why? Because the Gemara says over there in Yoma, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that when the time of the Churban came, and the Goyim broke into the Beis HaMikdash, they came into the Heichal, at the time of the Churban, what did they see? The Gemara says they saw the kruvim, the mu'urim zebezeh. Means they were embracing. They were hugging. So Frag the Ritva, what's going on? We just got through saying that when Klal Yisrael doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then they're facing each other. But the Kruvim, when they're not doing the Ratzon Hashem, they're facing the other direction. And yet here, it was a Chorban, obviously they weren't doing the Ratzon Hashem, it's a Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And yet, they were facing it, they were not facing, they were hugging each other. What's the shot? So there's various answers to the question. I'd like to just share with you one answer I saw and one answer I came up with myself this year. So Rav David Mann, he was a Rosh Yeshiva of Kfar Chassidim, he wants to say like follow. So when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Kruvim, he made them how? When he made them to begin with. How did he make them? Like we see in our Sedra, facing each other. Pneihem Yishal Achiv. However, when they were not doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then miraculously, it was a miracle, they went out of what their natural positions were. The natural position Moshe made them facing. Then they supernaturally turned and looked the other way. Okay, that was supernatural. That's not the norm. But Hashem did it when they were not doing the Ratzon of Hashem to show they weren't doing the Ratzon, he turned the other way. When it came the time of the Chorban, Hashem's Shechina left completely. So once the Shechina left, so then the Kruvim went back to their normal position. Because to be in the opposite way, that's also Hashem doing it, making it miraculously look the other way. But here Hashem says, I'm leaving you. So once he left, at the Chorban, then they just went back to their normal position facing each other, and that's why they saw the Goyim saw the Kruvim Murim Zebes. That's what David Mann says. I'd like to suggest another answer based on a nice little drash that Pardes Yosef says. Pardes Yosef says, what's the idea of Pneihem Yishal Achiv? The Gemara says, when Pnei Amishel Achiv, when they're facing each other, that's called Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. Okay, when they're doing the Ratzon Hashem. And when they're facing the other way, that's Pnei Am Labais, that's when they're not doing Ratzon Hashem. So it says, Al Pidrash, the Chpardes Yosef, that when a person sees his fellow man, Pnei Am Yishel Achiv, means when he cares about his fellow man, that's Ritzono Shel Makom. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that we should be Pneihem Yishal Achiv. We should face each other. We should care about each other. But when we don't, we face the other way. We face the bayit, means yourself, the house. You're looking at, you're only at yourself. That's called not doing Ritzon Hashem Makom. Right? They've said that's Pneihem Labayis, looking at only yourself. That's called not doing the Ratzon of Hashem. That's a drush. So I'd like to extend that a little bit to answer our question. Also, by the way, it's a nice that says Pneihem Yishal Achiv. We said that's when you're doing facing each other, when you care about your fellow man, that's doing the Ratzon of Hashem. The last letters of Pneihem is a Mem Ish Ashin El Achiv, spells out Shalom, the Sofei Tevas. That's called that's Shalom when you're facing each other. That's doing the Ratzon of Hashem. So I just wanted to say the following. So we asked, well, okay, so at the time of the Chorban, they're certainly not doing the Ratzon of Hashem. So what's the pshat that they were hugging each other? So, I'd like to suggest that when a person hugs somebody, okay, his face is not opposite the other person. You don't hug a person straight on. When you hug a person, your head is next to the other person. Okay, it's not straight on. Memele, what's shot? That they, when they, Goyim came in at time of the Chorban, they saw the Murim Zebes, they were hugging each other, the Kruvim. Meaning, where were they facing? They were still facing the Bais, they weren't facing each other, because their heads were next to each other. So one was facing the wall opposite it, the other one was facing the wall opposite it, but they were still, they were facing the wall, they weren't facing each other, because they were hugging. But what's shot? That they, so therefore they saw them on the one hand, looks like they were, you know, hugging, they liked each other, but they were really looking at the wall, they only cared about themselves. In other words, they looked like they loved each other, but they really were looking at the bais, they were really only caring about themselves. That was the matzav in the time of the Chorban. That they pretended that they were really loved, but really deep down they had seen a schinam, and they didn't like each other, and they didn't like each other, they just cared about themselves, they just made it look like it. And that is worse than if you turn around in the opposite direction. Why? Because if you're turning around the opposite direction and looking at the caring about yourself, so at least the other person knows it. He sees you turn around, he doesn't like me. But if he's hugging you and looking at the, well, caring about himself, that's worse because he thinks you like him, but really you don't. That's hypocritical. That's much worse. So the matzav of the Chorban was that matzav. That it looked like everybody liked each other, meanwhile deep down they hated each other. And I actually found the Yaris Tvash, or Yonasan Ibishit says this, based on the Gemara in The Gemara says that and during the Bais Sheni, says the Chazal, Shelo nisgale avonam, lo nisgale kitzam. He says, since their sin wasn't revealed, wasn't nisgale, what they did wrong, so therefore their kitz, the end of the galus, was not told to them either. So Frege of Yonason, what is that supposed to mean, that their sin was not revealed? We know what their sin was. We said, sin is chinam. Chazal tells us it's sin is chinam. So what does it mean? Their sin wasn't revealed, therefore the end of the galus is not revealed. Their sin was revealed. It was sin is chinam. So says Rav Yonason the following. He says, "Bait Sheini haita sinas chinam lashon hara ve'ad hayom machzikim betume azush lisno bechinam." Says till today, people still are hating each other for no reason. Listen to these next words: "Bepiv shalom esreyehu." They're speaking so nicely, yeah, as if they like each other. Yidaber ubilibo yasim arbab. And in their heart, they're trying to think, "How can I trick this guy?" So he said, "Hypocritical." That's what they were. And he says, "We're still that way today." And they're happy when their friend has a downfall or whatever. And then the person that goes and does this and fools his friend and gets him into trouble, whatever, he thinks, I'm a chacham. See what I did to him? I'm smarter than him. I outsmarted him. I got him into trouble, whatever. They think they're a big chacham when they're doing these things. So that's what the Chazal mean when the sin of the Bais Sheni was not revealed. Meaning, of course we know, sin is chinam, not revealed is that people don't realize that they're still holding by that. It's not revealed that they're still doing the sin is chinam. Because they think it's okay what they're doing by tricking their friends. And that's why the final gula hasn't come. And we don't know when the final gula is going to be, because we haven't gone out of the sin is chinam, which was in the time of the Bais Hamikdash. So Siman Rebbe's idea from Yonason, and that was the sin of during the Chorban, and that was represented, as we said, by the Kruvim hugging each other, but still looking at the wall, meaning looking at themselves. Okay, the Torah describes the various kelim, so it's very interesting. Sav Sofer says that in the order of the kelim, he says the Shulchan, where the lechem upon him was put on, that comes before the menorah in the Torah. So yes, why? It says, because what does the shulchan represent? Shulchan represents bread, represents parnasa. And what does the menorah represent? It's a talmud chacham, Torah or the light of the Torah represents a talmud chacham. So just like we see by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave the brachas to the Shvatim, he gave the bracha to Zvulun before Yisachar. Why? Because Zvulun supported Yisachar. So therefore, the one that supports the Talmud Chacham comes first, because without him, the Talmud Chacham can't learn. So Mele, so too over here, very nice. The Shulchan and the Sedra comes before the menorah, because the Shulchan is the bread supporting the Talmud Chacham, comes after, that's the menorah. Okay, sounds good, there's only one problem. There's another kli in the parsha. What's that? The Aron. What does Aron represent? Also Torah, right? The Torah was in the Aron. That represents Torah. Where is the Aron? It's before the Shulchan. It's Aron, then Shulchan, then Menorah. So if we said that to have Torah, you have to be supported, it has to come first, the Shulchan has to come first, that's why it's before the Menorah, then the Shulchan should be before the Aron also. Because the Aron also represents Torah, so you should have the Shulchan before the Aron also. So answers, except so for beautiful. He says, there's two types of Talmidei Chachamim. One type is a Tzadik Gamur, like Chanina ben Dosa. Chanina ben Dosa, he doesn't have to be supported. He wasn't supported. Right? Lavek, he supported the world. It says he lived off a small amount of Charuvim, a boxer, from one Erev Shabbos to the other. He come on, ate nothing, and the whole world was resting on his shoulders. He supported the world. That's a tzaddik gamur. And then you have your regular talmidei chachamim, you know, regular tzaddikim, whatever, not that tzaddik gamur, b'chinei mendos. And they support the world, but they also, first, they have to be supported by others. Mele, he says, beautiful. Therefore, the first thing we have in the Sedra Kli is the Aron. The Aron, where was the Aron? In the Kodesh HaKadashim. It contained the Luchos, the Torah. This represents what? These are the Tzadikim, the Gemurim, they're in the Kodesh Kadashim. They're the Holy of Holies. These type of people, they don't need to be supported. And therefore, you don't have the Shulchan before them in the Torah, because they don't need to be supported. I think they're the ones being supported. I'd like to add, as the Chazal tell us, that the Aron was no Seas Nosav. Right? Whoever carried the Aron was not really carrying it. They were floating in the air. The Aron really carried those carrying it. So if it's beautiful, the Aron represents that Tzaddik and Gemur, they don't need to be supported. Haraya, that it carried those that carried it. They didn't need to be supported. It carried those. They were doing the supporting. That's a Tzaddik and Gemur. And that came from first. After that, in the Torah comes the Shulchan, the bread, to support the menorah, which comes afterwards, which is a regular Talmid Chachamim that in fact have to be supported. Okay. The pasuk says, end of Perek Kaf Hei, says Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ure va'asei b'tavnisam asher ata mareh bahar." So he says, "You should see and you should do b'tavnisam in their form asher ata mareh bahar." As you're shown on the mountain. So what's pshat? What was Moshe shown? So Rashi was bothered by this. And Rashi says, Rei Kan Bahar, what should you see here now in the mountain? Tavnit Shani, what I'm going to show you, this form. Magid, Shinit Kasher Moshe B'maise HaMenorah. The Moshe had trouble, he couldn't understand how to do the menorah, how to make the menorah. Ad She'arelo Kodesh Baruch Hu Menorah Shel Eish. So from a Gemara Menachas. Until Hashem said, okay, here, you're having trouble, let me show you. And he showed him a diagram of the menorah made out of fire. So we should know how to do it. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Bikurei Avram Sefer. It says the following. He says, why did Hashem have to do this great miracle of showing Moshe Rabbeinu the menorah out of fire or whatever on the har? Why did he have to show him this? He said, well, he has to know how to make the menorah. What can he do? He had trouble. He had to show him. But it says earlier on, at the beginning, when it talks about the menorah, this is a number 10 psukim before this, it says, Vasisa menorah zav dahor, miksha te ase ha menorah. So Rashi's bothered. What do you mean te ase? Te'aseh means an it is made. It should have said, ta'aseh, make it, not te'aseh. So Rashi says over here that Moshe had trouble with the menorah, right? And the fisha haya Moshe mitkasheba, he had trouble making the menorah. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, hashlech etz hakikar la'or, throw the talent of gold into the fire, v'inases me'aleh, and it's going to come up by itself. That's why it says te'aseh. It's going to come by, make it by, make myself. So therefore, Frag the Bikurei Avram, because I don't understand. In that case, why did Hashem have to show him a picture of the fire of the menorah? Anyways, Moshe is not going to do it. It's going to come out of the fire anyway, so why bother showing him? So on this, he answers, very simple. He says, Nachon, true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the menorah. It's going to come by itself when it's thrown in the fire, 100%. But that's only after Moshe has to first try his best, put in his effort as much as he can to try to make the menorah, and only when he's not able to, then Hashem's going to do the miracle that's going to come out of the fire. So therefore, Hashem says, "Look, I got to show him the diagrams. You know, show him how to do it. I'm going to show him a pick the menorah out of fire and see if that helps." But it didn't. Moshe looked at the fire. He looked at the diagrams. He tried the whatever. He just couldn't. So Hashem says, "Okay, now that you tried your best, now it's going to come out, I'm going to take over, and it's going to come out of the fire." But he had to show him, the menorah shel eish, because Moshe had to do his part as much as he could first. And after that, only then, Hashem says, okay, hey, now you can, fine, now I'm going to help. So he asks, very good, nice idea, but why dafka by the menorah? Hashem could have done this by the shulchan, by the aron, by the why dafka by the menorah? So he says, because again, what does the menorah represent? The menorah represents Torah. And it says, Kiner mitzvah Torah or. Right? Torah or Zor. So this represents Torah. Hashem was teaching us how it works with Torah. Torah is something which is beyond the human grasp. Right? Just a person, how can you grasp Torah? Torah is spiritual, the Kosh Baruch Hu. How are we able to? In Achanami, by your on our own, we can't grasp a Torah. We need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help us, for sure. But I'm not going to spoon feed it though. First, you got to put in your effort. Try as much as you can. Try as hard as you can. Break your head on the Tosfos. And then, after you've exhausted yourself and you tried your best, you couldn't. Then, by itself, I'll give it to you. I'll hand it over to you. But first, you got to put in your effort. As the famous Chazal say in Megillah, right? Yagata Mitzasatami. The person says, "I put all my effort. Then I found it." Came out of nowhere. Oh, I found it. That's how it works with Torah. You put in the effort, and then in the end, it's a find. So that's what Koshberg was hinting to over here. Showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you've got to try as much as you can with the Torah. The menorah represents the Torah. Try your best. First, I'm going to show you diagrams, whatever. Try as much as you can. And then after that, you'll find it. Then it's going to come out of the fire by itself. That's how Torah works. It's something supernatural, but Hashem said, I'm not going to give it to you on a silver platter. You've got to work for it, and only then it'll come by itself. I'll give you Siyat HaShemayim, only after your efforts. Hashem Baruch Hu should see our efforts in Torah, and we should resak in our Sinas Chinam, and this should be a kapara and a tikkun, and like we saw from the Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, that if we were misakin this, then we'll see the kates and the coming of Biach Tzidkenu, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mehirah V'Yameinu, Amen.